Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 12:36. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. We are still taking your calls and texts on the Stiles Financial Talk and Text Line, 651-461-9226. Governor Tim Walz will be joining me at 1:30. So if you have a question for him and you'd like for me to ask, I've got a few extra minutes with him today. Go ahead and send those in. Josh is writing them down right now, and we're going to pick a couple of them and put them on the hot seat, because, you know, I don't give out questions. They don't get to tell me what to ask. And so I'm going to ask some of the questions from you all. He is not just the governor, my governor. He's your governor, too. And so if you have some questions, you want answers, go ahead and send that in. And we will be putting those out there to him and asking him to respond today when he comes on the show. At 1:30. So make sure you tune in. Now, listen, I watched last night the opening for the Olympics, and it was beautiful. It was amazing. The rain caused all kind of drama, you know, just trying to see the camera people at NBC keep the lens clean. They were out there on floating barges. I thought it was so awesome that they had the boats. You know, nobody had ever done anything like that. You know, they always march around the stadium, but the fact that they were on boats, and how did they get them to go out there on the boats in the rain? See, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I would have gone. I don't know if I would have taken that chance, because I was watching with Serena and Carl Lewis, and they were on the little boat, and they were, you know, passing the torch or whatever, and it got a little choppy, and they had to hold on. I saw Carl Lewis. He had a little concern in his face, and they had just so much going on, and they lit up the Eiffel Tower, and there's nobody I know who loves the Olympics more than my friend Christy Peel with Media Mindfield. So I asked her to come on the show today so we can talk all about it. And she's joining me courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. What's up, Christy?
Hey, Shaletta. How are you?
Girl, I'm doing good. Now, you got to tell me honest thoughts about last night's opening ceremonies. Was it just enough? Was it too much? Did they go over the top? Did they not go far enough? Give me your honest assessment.
You know, I had got up this morning and went down and looked at the couch where I was sitting last night and had to pick up the tissues from all the tearing up and all the weeping that I did, because between the Olympics and that opening ceremony and the moving commercials, they nailed it.
Okay, what was the thing that stood out to you most?
That Eiffel Tower and the laser show, and, you know, the rain, no one wanted that rain. The clouds made those lasers kind of extend, so that was really powerful. But I think the thing that sort of took my breath away was when they lit the cauldron and it went up via some sort of like hot air balloon magic. And then Celine Dion sang. It was just such a spectacle, and it felt very French and international, and it felt fresh, which you and I were texting about last night.
Yeah. It was something new and different. And, you know, what got me was the boat cruise, the boat rides, where they were, you know, every country was on a different boat. And it was just so different than what, you know, traditionally is done.
And it felt unique. It also felt a little unexpected because, as you mentioned earlier, the boat was a little choppy. Is everything going to be okay? Are they going to fall in? And then there's people dancing and playing everything from, Lady Gaga playing the piano to rock and roll music to the art. I mean, all the Minions made an appearance. All these different things were happening. And there was sort of something for everyone.
Yeah. Now, you know, everybody not going to be happy. I was online last night because I knew you were coming on, and I wanted to see what you had to say about some of the doubters and naysayers and folks who didn't like it. Now, my friend Terry Gray, who works over at TPT, he's an audio engineer, and he says, I got to say, this is the strangest Olympic ceremony I've ever seen. Peyton Manning and Kelly Clarkson add absolutely nothing to the commentary. He says, if she says, oh, that's cool, one more time, he said, Tirico is doing all the heavy lifting and might as well be doing it solo. He said, just toss to Uncle Snoop. He'll get us there. And the folks in the comments were like, I don't know. I don't like Kelly Clarkson and Peyton Manning. It's like they asked them to ad lib the whole thing without giving them talking points. You know, that commentary is so important to go along with those visuals. Do you think we had the right people in place, you know, to make this moment move like it needed to?
I totally hear what those people are saying, and there are moments that I felt it. I think what I appreciated about it, even though, yes, I mean, I worked in television news for a long time, they certainly didn't seem like they were, you know, as polished as Hoda or Savannah, but they brought an element of real people. And I get it, it's hard to say that Kelly Clarkson and Peyton Manning are like the rest of us, but they at points didn't have any words and sort of were dumbfounded and were captivated just by the incredible strangeness / amazingness of the whole thing. And that had a realness to it. Now, did NBC maybe go too far in allowing them to have no script and no direction? Maybe. I predict that the closing ceremony will probably have those same players, but I bet they'll have a few more talking points. The other thing that I think we maybe don't know that could have happened is that the plans may have had to change because of the arson threats that were happening in the subway and because of the rain. So it's possible that they were a little bit more prepared and things changed. And Kelly Clarkson and Peyton Manning, well, Kelly Clarkson is very good at her show, which has a lot of scripting. And Peyton Manning, I suspect, has a lot of scripting for his podcast and the things he's involved with. So that environment may have been a little bit new to them. And it did have that feeling.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Now, before you and I start texting last night, I knew that you enjoyed the Olympics, but I didn't know you were the Olympics nerd, where you were on a couch and everybody in your life knew not to bother you at that time because you would be enjoying the opening ceremonies. You were crying, you were laughing, you were having a good time. The reason that I called you and wanted you to be on the show is because what blew me away was the fact that Snoop Dogg is holding the Olympic torch. Now, if you want to take this train all the way back to the station, Snoop Dogg was at one point America's Most Wanted. He was on trial for killing a man. You know, he was acquitted. But thanks to Johnny Cochran and some good lawyering. But he at one point was one of the most hated rappers in America. They were talking about banning his music and, you know, not letting him perform in certain places. And he definitely did not have the support of this country. And now he goes from that Snoop Dogg to the Snoop Dogg who is in Paris at the Olympics, and not just there as a spectator, but he is holding the torch, and the torchbearers are representatives of our country. Now, Christy Peel, like I told y'all earlier, she has one of the most amazing PR media companies, Crisis Management in town, Media Mindfield, and I respect her so much for the work that she does for her clients with her business. And so when I looked at that, I thought, how did that happen? How did Snoop Dogg go from being one of America's Most Wanted, which is the name of one of his albums, to a torchbearer for America at the Olympic Games? So Christy does this thing for a living. So when we come back, I want to find out from my friend Christy Peel how this happens. How do you do that for your clients? More with Christy when we come back. Everybody get up and listen to this woman, because, baby, let me tell you something. When it comes to public relations and media and crisis management, she is the person for your business or your company. And Christy, you got to tell folks how they can get in touch with you, because Media Mindfield has been around a couple of years. But, you know, anytime somebody comes to me and says, oh, my God, we got this big thing and it's going bad and it's going south and we're trying to figure out how to manage it, I'm like, don't call me, call Jesus. And then you call Christy Peel, because she can be the one to help you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Media Mindfield, it'll be 14 years old in September. Go to the website, Media Mindfield. You can find us there, and any social media platforms, you can find me or the company, and we will get back to you if you slide into our DMs, as the kids say.
You know what? And y'all are so responsive, and, you know, you do so much to make sure that companies and organizations have the tools that they need. Public relations, you coach up executives, you know, just all that stuff that you do that, you know, people take for granted that folks already know, and they don't. And, you know, last night when I was watching the Olympics and I thought of you, I was like, can you please come on my show? Because you have to explain to me how Snoop Dogg went from rapping about being one of America's most wanted to being a torchbearer. He wasn't just at the Olympics hanging out with his family. He's carrying the torch, the freaking torch. You know, that is I'm talking a whole full circle moment. And, you know, for somebody to go from, you know, being, you know, one of the, you know, most detested, quote unquote, gangster rappers to representing our country at the Olympics, you know, as a public relations person and a media person, how does that happen? How can you repair that image? Because, Christy, you and I both know folks are getting canceled left and right for doing a whole lot less than, you know, what Snoop Dogg was accused of doing in his rap lyrics and his music. And, you know, and he still found a way to be the guy that we all know and love today.
It's remarkable. And it speaks to, I think, one of the reasons that I love the Olympics so much is that it unites us. And there are so many redemptive stories that show up in the Olympics. And Snoop Dogg is the poster child of what America can stand for, frankly, and that is forgiveness, redemptive qualities, and unity. He, you know, almost 30 years ago had the trial that you mentioned, acquitted of murder, and was not just, you know, an edgy guy, but a criminal, as many people viewed him, even though he wasn't convicted. But he didn't have a great reputation, and certainly right. NBC was not going to connect their brand to him. However, the folks around him, his team, spent years, decades, redeeming his brand and allowing Snoop to be Snoop, which I think is one of the things that they did really well. He's still edgy. He's still out there talking about smoking his weed and, you know, it's not criminal anymore, but he still isn't someone who's necessarily mainstream. Not that I don't even know what mainstream is anymore, because the beautiful thing about America is there's so many different perspectives and cultures and genders and all these different things, right? It's so amazing what America means because it's just such a big tent. And Snoop is there as someone who can speak for a certain part of America. Not everyone probably is sitting around like you are cheering for him. My teenagers, my 20-something-year-old was like, this is so great that Snoop is there because he brings a different vibe. That's not for everybody. Kelly Clarkson brings a vibe. Peyton Manning brings a vibe. Mm-hmm. And Snoop was there with this different kind of audience, and he got to be himself, which I'm certain they told him, like, Snoop, keep the language, you know, family friendly. But he was very authentic to who he is. So over the course of decades, he was able to maintain his edgy, relevant brand, and he cleaned himself up. He's not, you know, getting arrested and being accused of crime. So he's done a lot of work on himself, and he never went away, which is those are the hallmarks: authentic forgiveness, asking and showing for forgiveness, which he's done over time, and got to give him credit.
Yeah. And, you know, my kids don't even know rapper Snoop Dogg. They know this Snoop Dogg. Like he's a different guy to a different generation. Like, my kids know him as Snoop Dogg, the voiceover actor, because he's in so many of their favorite movies. He's, you know, the voiceover artist for characters that they've come to love. And, you know, they've got the stuffed animals. And so that's how they know Snoop Dogg. They've never heard him rap. They have. There's a whole generation of folks watching the Olympics who have never heard Snoop Dogg rap a lyric.
And those of us who do remember that, the 90s version of Snoop Dogg, we have short memories. Up until last night when you texted, remember when he was accused of murder? Right? I mean, I remembered it when you said it, and I remembered that he had a reputation that was different than what my kids think of him, but it just speaks to our short memories collectively and how we have the capacity to view people through different lenses.
Yes, ma'am. Well, girl, I tell you, I need you to work on that Snoop Dogg thing for me. I'm coming over there Monday, and I want to be at the next Olympics. It's in L.A. We're gonna fix all this stuff up. We're gonna get our Snoop Dogg on over here, girl. I want to be part of that torch bearing thing. I said, look at, yeah, he got a good PR. He got good media people behind him, and we got a good media PR company here with Christy Peel and Media Minefield. Thank you for coming on the show, girl, and explaining how that miracle happened.
Hey, thanks for inviting me. I will text you while watching the Olympics. I got to get back. There's swimming on. There's these sports are happening I've never heard of before. Like, it's 2 weeks of awesomeness right now, Shaletta.
Right. And, you know, for folks who are wondering, Comcast and Peacock are making this available so you can watch every single thing. I've got a story about it up on my website at ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com. If you're wondering how you can see some of these things that are not on in prime time, I know that Comcast and their Peacock network, they're streaming some stuff. So you can go on my website, ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com, and it'll explain how you can watch anything you want to watch with the Olympics. And we got Governor Tim Walz coming up on The Shaletta Show.